Symbols play a significant role in religious Judaism. In religion in Bichlal, in general, it plays a significant role. But within the world of religious Judaism, symbols are extremely important and prevalent, pending on how they are used and pending on with which context they are applied. This past week, I sent out an article under my Hammer Time discussing the issue of the students in University of Berkeley and relating to the leadership of Mordechai HaYehudi, the despair and the situation that he found himself in Shushan HaBira, as we celebrated Purim over the last few days, the victory of the Jewish people over the ploy and plot of Haman HaRasha to utterly destroy our entire nation. And it's interesting because I want to share with you a number of insights that happened with this particular article. But to give you a background, let me share with you the words of Torah upon which it was based. The Gemara in Megillah talks about the Pasuk Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan HaBira Ushmor Mordechai Ben Kish Ish Yemini. Ish Yehudi describes someone who we would say is a Judean, someone from Judah, a Jew. But it can also describe someone who has emerged from Shevet Yehuda. On the other hand, we know that Mordechai himself was Ish Yemini from Shevet Binyamin. And therefore, a number of Chazal discuss this particular problem. And they say, why does it single out Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan HaBira? There was only one Jew in Shushan HaBira, when we know that this is not true. Chazal explained that many of the Jews fled Shushan. When they heard about Haman's plot, they decided to flee the scene. But Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshit says insightfully that this is not acceptable. Because if one looks at the following or ensuing psukim in the Megillah, it clearly says, Mordechai, or Esther is told by Mordechai, Lech knos et kol ha-Yehudim asher b'Shushan, v'tzumu alai. Gather all of the Jews from around our confines and fast for me, as Esther is about to enter the palace of Ahasuerus without permission. Therefore, says Rabbi Yonasan, clearly there were many Jews. There was a large, significant Jewish population in the confines of Shushan HaBira. And so that is not acceptable. Rather, explains Rabbi Yonatan, the Tosfot in Megillah discusses why is Mordechai referred to as Yehudi and Yemini. Says Tosfot, Mordechai Muchtar b'nimuso haya. Mordechai was called Yehudi because he was crowned by being Jewish, and yet he was Yemini from Shevet Binyamin. But Rabbi Yonasan elaborates on this explanation. Says Rabbi Yonasan in his great insight that the word Yehudi can actually be changed or transformed from the hey, Yehudi, to the word Yehudi, to a chet. A hey is allowed to be changed or interchanged with the letter chet. And therefore it becomes Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan HaBira. Why Yehudi? What was so singular? What was so outstanding and unique about Mordechai? Mordechai was L'Shem Yichudo Shel Makom. L'Shem Yichud HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yachad. Mordechai believed and subscribed to the concept of Yichud, Echad, oneness, the uniqueness, the divine revelation, the divine authority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is only one Yichud. There is only one God. There is only one Hashem. And that is Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. Many of the Jewish people who lived in Shushan were indeed in the city, but they did not publicize the fact that they were Jews. In the moronic fashion, they hid themselves from demonstrating that they were Jewish. They would not wear their religiosity or even their Judaism on their sleeves. They practiced Judaism, but in an ashamed and an abashed way, so that no one should understand or know that indeed they were Jewish. Mordechai, however, wore his Yiddishkeit on his sleeve with pride, with great appreciation, with great merit to be able to carry the name, the significance of what it means to be a religious Jew. And therefore, Mordechai was Ish Yichudi. He was one of a kind. He would publicize that he was Jewish. He would go out the Shar Ha'ir to the gates of the city and let everyone know, this is who I am. You don't have to accept me, but this is what I believe in. I have an uncompromised allegiance to who I am and what I represent. And no one can thwart those efforts or disturb what I am and what religion or Judaism means to me. And therefore, says Rabbi Yonasan, how did Mordechai demonstrate this public affair of being a religious Jew? Mordechai would go out to the gates of the city, and he would adorn himself with his tzitzit and with his tefillin. He would publicize the fact that he was Jewish. The Yichud, L'shem Yichud HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Echad, the Otiot, the symbols that he wore of the tzitzit and of the tefillin, which demonstrates that our hearts and that our deeds and that our mind has to be focused and completely revolve around servitude of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yonasan says a similar experience happened also amongst another Yehudi of Yehuda. Yehuda, who eventually became the founding father of Shevet Yehuda, also found himself in a predicament, an uncomfortable situation, whereby he has relationship with his future, with his daughter-in-law and his future wife, Tamar. And when he goes off to the side of the road, the Torah clearly says, "Vayet haderech el hakdesha asher be'einav." And Tamar says to Yehuda, when she demonstrates who the man was that lived with her, that related with her, she says, "Chotamcha uptilcha titen li le'eravon." She asks Yehuda to give her a chotemet, an appeal, for the sake of consecration, to demonstrate that this is the man who indeed lived with her, who indeed cohabitated with her at that time. What is this chotemcha uptilcha? What is this signature and ptil string that would demonstrate that he was with her? Chazal say, chotem ze tefillin, ptilcha zehu tzitzit. Yehuda left the signs of his religiosity, the signs of who he is, the tefillin and tzitzit, with Tamar. And therefore Mordechai followed in the footsteps of Yehuda as well. His tefillin and his tzitzit would say and state who he is and what he represents. Mordechai was not afraid because he understood the significance of these symbols clearly indicate what he is and indeed who he believes in, Hashem Echad. Therefore, the Megillah says Rabbi Yonasan, Ish Yichudi Haya Beshushan Habira. What is Beshushan Habira? Is this to be understood that he lived in Shushan? Certainly not. Beshushan Habira demonstrates that he was literally immersed in the city of Shushan. He went out to the marketplace. He went out to the gymnasium. He went out to the palace, the festive feast that Achashverosh attempted to thwart and destroy Jewish identity with. Mordechai went and wore the tefillin and tzitzit in these places. He was Beshushan, in the heart of the city, with his Yehudi, Ish Yehudi, a Jewish man, demonstrating the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Jewish people appreciate and understand and crown themselves with the proper symbols, Chazal say that tefillin also is a pe'er, a sign of regal royalty. Mordechai was muhtar. He crowned himself with the crown of the tefillin. Pe'ercha chavush alecha. He equipped himself with the regal jewels of servicing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tefillin and the tzitzit. When we appreciate what these symbols represent, then certainly Judaism embraces symbolism, otiot, those symbols that greater dedicate ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to our religion. But chalila, when these symbols are not understood, and when they are not appreciated, then they can become idolatrous. In this week's Parsha of Parshat Ki Tisa, B'nai Yisrael, interestingly enough, also demonstrate that they are in need, that they quest symbols with which to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, the aftermath of their requests is disastrous. The Torah tells us in Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Aleph, Bnei Yisrael approach Aharon, Ki Moshe Shmoshe Laredet Minahar. When they see that Moshe is procrastinating, he does not come down and descend from the mountain. What do they say to him? Asei Lanu Elohim, Asher Yelchu Lefaneinu. Make for us a God that will go in front of us. Why? Ki Ze Moshe Haish, Lo Yadanu Mehayalo. We do not know what is with Moshe, our leader. Are Bnei Yisrael suggesting a comparison between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Ramban explains that Bnei Yisrael perhaps could not deal with the concept of a God. They needed a physicality. And to them, Moshe represented that physical symbol that would link them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when it ends there, my friends, Rabotai, that becomes a very serious problem. When they do not appreciate that perhaps it is a link, but ultimately there is one way above Moshe Rabbeinu. Echad Elokim! Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad! When one does not understand that, it becomes problematic. And therefore, in Pasuk Vav, the Torah confirms the terrible outcome of this request. Vayashkimu mimacharat, vayalu olot, vayagishu shlamim. Bnei Yisrael wake up, and to this Egel HaZahav, this golden calf, they offer sacrifices. But then it says, vayeshev ha'am le'echol, Vishato vayakumu letzachek. They sit down and they drink and they imbibe and they eat, and eventually they become promiscuous in their behavior. If Bnei Yisrael would not understand the significance of symbols, that they are meant to awaken within us a greater appreciation and understanding of religiosity, then that becomes a very serious issue. And this is precisely what happened with the Egel HaZahav. On this week of Purim, Mordechai demonstrated to us the significance, the greatness of using symbols for the sake of higher religiosity. And in this week's Parsha of Ki Tisa, it demonstrates to us the danger of using symbols as the ends to means, or a means to an end. If it ends there, then indeed spirituality cannot possibly protrude forward and have the proper effect that it is supposed to have to further our religious conscription. It's interesting because when I submitted this Dvar Torah about Mordechai, so I have to tell you, I've submitted a number of my articles of Divrei Torah to the Jerusalem Post, and they have never been accepted. Finally, this Dvar Torah of Mordechai HaYehudi was accepted by the Jerusalem Post in a discussion regarding the students in Berkeley, California, who unfortunately the activities of Hillel at Berkeley, California, are completely void of any religious understanding and demonstrate anti-religiosity. It's a terrible, terrible happenings that are going on there in the Hillel of Berkeley University. But finally, the Jerusalem Post accepted my article. They printed it in the paper, they placed it on the internet, but they placed it under the authorship of none other than Rabbi Reuven Hammer instead of Rabbi Shalom Hammer. And I thought to myself, how ironic. Finally, I get one of my articles placed in the Jerusalem Post, and they get the name wrong. And none other than a conservative rabbi, Rabbi Reuven Hammer, instead of the Orthodox rabbi, Rabbi Shalom Hammer. So I wrote a response to the editor. I wrote rather a request for an apology to the editor of the Jerusalem Post. And here's what I wrote, Rabotai. Often when I travel to lecture as a guest speaker in various communities, people approach me and ask, are you related to Rabbi Reuven Hammer? To which I respond, no. But I read his articles in the J Post, and while I may not agree with all that he says, he writes very well. I also remind them that Rabbi Reuven Hammer is head of the Masoreti conservative movement in Israel, while Rabbi Shalom Hammer is an Orthodox rabbi. Then for a brief moment, I wonder if Rabbi Reuven Hammer is approached by people asking him whether he is related to Rabbi Shalom Hammer. Then I quickly come to my senses and realize, probably not. So when I saw my article, Lacking Purim Spirit at Berkeley Hillel, published by the J Post under the name Reuven Hammer instead of Shalom Hammer, I thought to myself, yes, people do confuse Reuven Hammer with Shalom Hammer. I am the recognizable household name. And my suspicions were confirmed. The Post even put Rabbi Reuven Hammer's picture and brief bio next to my article. Again, I was happy, as he is far better looking than I am, and his bio is far more impressive. I was truly honored, because as I mentioned, the articles I have read by Rabbi Reuven Hammer stress the importance of instilling Jewish ideals and traditions in Israeli society. Then another thought came to me. Purim is a day when the Jewish people let their hair down. We see beyond our differences, agree to disagree on various issues, but recognize that in the end of the day, we are bonded by the fact that we are all part of the threatened but resilient Jewish nation. After all, Haman was interested in exterminating the entire Jewish people, regardless of faith or denomination. How ironic, therefore, that on this day of Purim, an Orthodox rabbi could be confused with a conservative rabbi. On any other day, such context would perhaps be the subject of debate or a venue of differentiating perspectives. But on this day of Purim, I could simply say, it happens. As a Jew of deep, sincere commitment and beliefs, I do not believe in chance. I have never met Rabbi Reuven Hammer. I only know what he looks like from the picture which sits next to my article. But perhaps the message is clear. Considering all of our differences of opinions, and I disagree wholeheartedly with the conservative movement's premise, we are all trying to get to the same place. We are all trying to deepen commitment and appreciation of what it means to be Jewish. Wrong author? No problem. V'nahafochu. It is the opposite. On Purim we forgive and forget, and we move on. However, it is important for me to note that there is one change which was made in my article, which I cannot allow to go unnoticed and without remark. In my original article that I submitted, it did not, nor would I ever, refer to Rav Yonason Eibeshitz as just Eibeshitz. Twice in my article, your editors removed the title Rav or the title Rav Yonason and replaced only the last name, Eibeshitz. This, to me, is unacceptable. Rav Yonason Eibeshitz was a Torah genius and leader of the Jewish communities in Altona, Wandsbek, and Hamburg during the 18th century. When we replace a Shalom with a Reuven, that is acceptable. But we cannot take the liberty of removing titles that represent dignity, integrity, and the significance of religious leadership. While Shalom Hammer's name may be overlooked and forgotten, the conclusion of my article states, Mordechai's name is still with us. So is the name Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz. Rabotai, it is incumbent upon us, having gone through the great, wondrous miracle, reliving, re-experiencing the Chag of Purim, it is incumbent upon us to embrace those articles, those symbols that Mordechai kept so dear to him, and that Mordechai risked his life to wear on his sleeve. The articles of tefillin, the articles and symbols of tzitzit, and indeed, the name Rav or Rabbi, and what that name represents, what it embodies. Klal Yisrael forgot who Rabban Shel Yisrael was, Moshe Rabbeinu. They forgot that the significance of the religious symbols ultimately are meant to bring a person to greater recognition and adherence to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Yichudi Hayah B'Shushan Abirah. And when they forgot, then the consequences were Avodah Zarah, the idolatrous practice of what was exhibited in the Egel HaZahav. Only when we understand the great advantages that we have within religious practice, and the fact that all of our symbols demonstrate our adherence and need to grow in our religious awakenings, in our religious practice towards Torah, Mitzvot, and Yirat Shamayim, only then will all of B'nai Yisrael as one, again, regardless of our denominations, will we be able to proclaim as one, La Yehudim Haita Ora V'Simcha V'Sason V'Yikar Yikar, the sign of the tefillin and the tzitzit. Shabbat Shalom.